doing the commercial and the guy's running out of the building just covered in the red nimble thing.
Volvo, buy our cars.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Old Man Vin, that's Jordan Swong, that is one Pedro Mateus, and that's you at home watching us live, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. You know him, you love him. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're here. Once again, we reconvene for this unholy amalgam of episode 551, in which we will discuss
stuff.
Jesus and Doom things. Yes. Linux gaming thingies. Got a couple of things. Here's a little not humble brag. We play Trackmania on Tuesdays and Fridays, but on Fridays in the after shows, and we play the new Trackmania. We do the cup of the evening, and Linux Gamecast represent number 7, number 10 last night.
Getting up there.
In the
defeated
world.
By Super Squirrel.
Dude, we got Johnny Behoff threw down, man. He threw down, and that's always a good time. Come hang out with us, so we'll be back Tuesday with Trackmania Squared if you want to do that. And I'll be live tomorrow, as is tradition, I think somewhere like around 11 o'clock. If you want to watch me edit the super exciting, super non-sexy part of making a podcast. But if you've got your Linux questions, throw them in. That's the right time to do it. And Wednesday, since Scale is still going on, if you tuned in last Wednesday, we did a stealth build inside of a webcam. We installed RetroPie on a Raspberry Pi HQ, Raspberry Pi Zero with an HQ webcam attached to it because I couldn't get the webcam software to install and work correctly. So we ended up just installing RetroPie on it.
Oh man, I wonder if you could like set up the camera to like read in the shit from the Power Glove so you can get like native Power Glove support on the Raspberry.
Ah man, see, I want like a camera for each finger, man. Like rings. I want to be like Thanos.
like the Mandarin, yeah.
Oh, the Mandarin, yeah. The Cameron didn't. That won't work. So this Wednesday, what I'm going to be doing is doing Fedora Silverblue. We're going to be putting that on, putting Steam on it, and installing XFCE.
Yeah, I looked into that. It's like, oh, I guess Kinoit has that. You got to like rebase. Mm-hmm. It's really cool that you can do that shit with like OS Tree in general. Like
I was just like making the funny and like, I was like, oh, y'all bitches want to talk some shit about it? Let's see if we can fucking make it happen then. All right.
I'm sure you'll make it happen. it's like, just when the system updates, you're back to GNOME.
No.
Not at all, Pedro. You can shut your mouth and read the instructions.
There's a flat packed XFCE. When Ben mentioned that, I'm like, really? I looked into it and I'm like, huh. Yeah, there's like two or three projects that actually like implement that via Flatpak. OS Tree, man. It's crazy.
Coming out on Wednesday, we're going to learn all about Silverblue. I'm not going to prepare for it. We're going to drop in a fresh NVMe drive into Rectangle and just get to business and see how it works, see how it installs, and see what it is to get Steam up and running on it. So it should be a good time. How about you, Jordan?
It's been a very busy week. I'm still the only one in my department. I did get a new laptop. I installed Debian 11 on it, and honestly, it is a massive improvement over Mac OS. I will take that bargain any day. The fucking week, it's great. I have like my native Docker and Podman shit. It just works.
How many display ports got on it?
It's got zero display ports, unfortunately.
That's a damn shame.
It is.
Tune into the pre super shows if you want some the hot deets on that.
Yeah, it was quite an adventure. Turns out I was wrong though. I was doing the research for that in Discord. The version that they were selling at the store doesn't have 4 gigs soldered on board. It has 8 gigs, so I got some bonus memory.
Very good. Yeah.
But also, fuck you, Lenovo, for like soldering half your RAM on the board, so you have to buy like the more expensive version. Because like, oh man, Lenovo marks up like crazy on RAM and solid state drives. Mm-hmm. You are 99% of the time, you're better off just buying the minimum RAM system with like a platter drive, because you can just get an SSD and an extra DIMM for cheaper.
Would it been like make more sense just to buy another Steam Deck and hook it up?
I mean, I could, but then like if I'm double decking it, I guess. the closest prop I have here. If I'm double decking it, it's a big handful. I don't think my hands are like girthy enough to.
We'll get like a hinge, and you can screw into them so you can open it up. It'd be like a clam deck.
I mean the Switch Deck laptop.
Dude, I would totally
set a clam deck. It's massive.
I want like the USB display for this, so I can like set up the Nintendo DS on here.
Open it up, just flops out everywhere.
Yeah, flop it around. I love doing it, man. Mr. Floppy, that's what they called me.
Clam decks. Pedro, you've taken apart a gun. That's all I know.
I did. It was this elite. What's it called? Disruptor from Nerf. It had a bit of an issue with the drum that whenever you took a shot, the drum would spin at the same time that the dart would come out. So the dart would get stuck and then the drum wouldn't spin because the dart was like halfway out.
Now, I do think the obvious question on behalf of everyone listening is like, why is this thing under such heavy use that it's starting to wear out?
I like Nerf gun.
Now, here's my question. Every now
and then picks it up and shoots it at me out of the blue. So
did you do the mod where you remove the netting from inside so that you maximize the pressure going to the dart, or does it still have like the weak dart pressure?
It still has the. I didn't touch the actual bit that compresses the air.
I may have done a little bit of research into Nerf gun modding in my youth, and I know some stuff.
Stay out of Jordan's house. Jordan's got the fucking Nerf guns that'll drop a motherfucker 10 paces.
I got one that requires multiple D-cell batteries. So.
Yeah, no, that one is manually activated. But no, the only thing I touched was 23 screws, by the way, on that one. To get to the rubber band that spins the drum when you pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's but it's fixed, I think.
How many rubber bands do we have to apply to the horse, do you think, to get it once again in an upright position?
I think at that point you have more rubber band than horse. It's the Steam Let's get Elastic and into it. So this is from chipsandcheese.com, and now I'm hungry. But there's a breakdown of the Van Gogh. Van Gogh. I heard them pronounce it as Van Gogh in Doctor Who, and I was very confused. But they breaking down the Steam Deck's APU, doing a bit of comparison, trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. There are a couple conclusions that Chips and Cheese comes to. Number one, LPDDR5 sucks, just in general, for both CPU and GPU. That's the thing that's holding a lot of the Steam Deck performance back. Also, they do make some sacrifices in the CPU department to maximize GPU performance in comparison to a similar laptop part. Makes sense. Most games these days are GPU bound. You can afford to have like weaker CPU to maximize battery life, improve performance. It makes sense. But this is just a really cool read-through. The guy, I mean, it sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I don't know. As a enthusiast / layperson, it all sounds legit. I could be wrong.
And, you know, the less power you have in an APU going to the CPU side means, you know, less heat. So the GPU can scale up a bit higher, and just the heat is then compensated by the GPU side, which gives you better performance.
I think that speaks to something, though, about, like, there was a lot of talk of, like, oh, you know, you can, like, pull the board out of the Steam Deck and use it as, like, a little workstation server or, like, a little set-top or whatever. So that would be something to keep in mind, is that you're not going to get the same level of CPU performance as you would from a laptop in that case. But, you know, I guess you're disassembling your Steam Deck. You're not doing it for performance reasons.
And it's supposed to be, you know, power efficient because portable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, no. The L3 finding on Linux is likely caused by the C3 entry cache flush, which goes away when Valve releases kernel.
Flagman actually 6.1. Tweeted about that. That's very good.
But I also want to say, man, Chips and Cheese, y'all got a serious case of the Redmanitis over there. This is like Windows 11 this, Windows this, and under Windows this. I'm like, it's a Steam Deck, son. Do you not know how to run a benchmark outside of Windows?
Maybe not the usual suite that he probably used to run.
How weird is that? Though, yeah, this is like, can you imagine though? Like, can you imagine? Like, what do you have to install Windows to like get benchmark? You don't know. Like, if I was on a Mac, would you be like doing your benchmarks through like boot camp?
Or just installing Windows by forcing EFI to recognize Windows as a boot? Yeah.
This person probably would.
Or Rosetta 2 or whatever they
have. Yeah, no, all the tech YouTubers when the Steam Deck first came out, Gamers Nexus, Linus, they all installed Windows to run their benchmarks.
This is one of the nanoscopic reasons I want that Arc 770, man. Just get some actual fuck-mothering benchmarks on the goddamn thing, man. Because of shit like that. That drives me up the wall. Maybe it shouldn't. And it's not just it is anytime you see hardware, but we've had to learn to extrapolate, right?
Yeah. Well, look, like they'll usually be the one Vulcan game that they test, and it's like that's the closest thing you're probably gonna get to like actual performance numbers on Linux. Plus minus booga booger.
Right. You like doing like plus minus 10%, like that one game we would have now, and you're like, all right, so you factor in 10, like, all right. I mean, listen, I guess it's better. Than nothing. Not the only Steam Deck news we have this week.
It isn't. This one is. Speaking of the cheaters. Plugins. The cheaters. Also legitimate use case, but there's a plugin system called what do they call it? Decky Loader, and there's a specific plugin called Steam Back, which what it does is it allows you to create backups. Or snapshots of the cloud saves. When you close a game, it starts to do the upload for the cloud, and this little plugin will intercept it, create a copy of it, and then you can have
it's 10 saves per game.
And
why is it only 10?
You could go back for arbitrary each number. Snapshot.
I guess like 10 is like a reasonable compromise. Like,
the loneliest number.
that's 10 can be as bad as one if we're talking about binary. I don't know. 10 seems small, but then it's like how much like save fucking fuckery are you doing in total? So like I don't know. If you want this to work at all, the game in question does need support cloud saves. One thing I found out is that like you actually the publishers actually need to explicitly enable cloud saves for the deck because Pillars of Eternity 2, I can get my cloud save on any like regular PC or on this laptop, but if I want to play it on my Steam Deck, it's like you want to start a new game? No, I'm 20 hours into this RPG. I don't want to start over, please.
How many times does that like really wind you up when you notice that there is no cloud save, especially or the like cross-platform cloud save?
Oof!
Like, you only get cloud saves on Linux machines, and if you were playing it in Proton, you don't get the hit of.
I've been lucky at least one time where I have copied the saves from the Linux folder to like a Wine folder, and like miraculously it works, and I'm like, oh man, thank fucking crispy Christ, man, like.
I've never been like hit up that hard, but I've definitely had a couple of situations where I'm like, why not? Why are you not making this work? This is what are the technical challenges other than you just can't be fucked? I mean, is there a tech box for can't be fucked?
Pretty much, yeah. Like,
it's the tick box that is can you be fucked and no one ticks it. Steam Back is a very good tool. And it takes save game backups to their full exploitative extreme. Because you will use this for cheating. Could give you an example of the Souls games, for example.
Iron Man mode.
Yeah. You can go into multiplayer, gift all of your items to a person. Say a friend of yours comes into your world. You drop all your items. They pick them up. You leave the game, restore the previous snapshot, and you still have all your items. And so does your friend. Yes, you can dupe the shit out of everything.
Can I use this with RetroArch to save my NES game states?
I don't think that RetroArch on Steam supports cloud save, so no.
I do know that RetroArch already like supports that though in terms of like.
I know, but it would be a lot dumber if I could get it to work with this.
True.
RetroArch devs, how about some cloud saves for your?
I'm just thinking of like. You accidentally like save state like just as you're falling into a pit in Mario and like that's the thing that gets backed up so you restore and you're just like fuck.
We've all been there, man. Like that really bad save state or not even save state, just like just save area wherever you've saved and you're like, I'm so fucked, right? And
I have two bullets left and there's a boss fight.
And you're not gonna, dude, I'm in one of those places with that Black Mesa. Like I know exactly. It's been like 8 months since I played Black Mesa because I said I was gonna finish that on stream. I know right now exactly where I'm at, and it's such a fuck box that I want to deal with. So Proton GE750 is out, 7.50 bunch updates. Nothing earth shattering here, just more of a maintenance release. Even get some stuff with the OpenVR updates getting upstreamed to that, along with VKD3D, wine staging, and the bleeding edge. Hey, do you think any are crazy? I mean, I saw something with the metal slug, but...
Yeah, the metal slug was the new Proton fix that was introduced, because the current versions of wine, if you try to launch metal slug, the first one, it just shows a black window. So there's a Proton fix that works around that, so you don't have to do anything. But the two that got removed, Persona 4 and Battle Fantasia FPS, the FPS log for Battle Fantasia, those are no longer necessary because they actually work out of the box now. So it's very good.
I think the moral of the story is that Strider and Alex have failed to kidnap Gloria Segrel, and so the updates will keep coming. Unfortunately.
Mm. This was pushed out before Scales.
There's that. Yeah. Like 5 days ago, man. Yeah. If there isn't a release this week, send help.
There we go. Couple of new games this week, and I know what Jesus Doom is, but I know what Stalker is only because Pedro kind of brought up Stalker once or twice,
and I've streamed it back in the day. It's Eastern European nuclear apocalypse type of situation around the Chernobyl explosion zone. But this one is apocalyptic vibes, which follows very much in the same vein, very much indeed, with the big difference instead of using the, can't remember what the engine is called for Stalker, but it uses GZ Doom, and I very much approve
X-ray,
that.
X-ray, isn't it? Because like the Open X-ray, is the is the open source version.
Yep. It is a big thank you to the devs. It only took a solid 14 emails back and forth before the Linux version was up and truly functional.
I have a little note at the end. It's like, also, we published the Linux version, you guys.
It had some issues when it was first introduced. It was the app ID VDF file was still pointing at the Windows EXE, so that didn't launch. And it was missing a couple of libs. Like older library versions for that are required for that particular GZ Doom build that they're using. So it's like, you didn't include these libs too? It's like, oh, okay, well, we'll get that. So yeah, there'll be a proper review coming. Don't you worry. This is not a review. This is just, first mention and a big thank you for sending us keys. That too is very much appreciated.
But we can just download a demo and play with it though, right?
Yes.
$20.
Ooh. Yeah, for GZ Doom, this is a bit of an ask. Like, I'm sure a lot of effort was put into this and whatnot, but like, is a little pricey. Also, apparently, it contains excessive caffeine consumption, just like Zombie Admin.
Health items you can use is just packs of coffee.
Hey man, caffeine gets shit done.
But it's just like dry instant coffee. You don't even drink it. You're just like.
I was reading through their forums, and apparently there's been some rewrites and reworks of the English language version of the game, because one of the guys described talking to the NPC characters as talking to a nonsensical drunk.
They mentioned it in the update. It's like, we fixed the English localization. Very good.
Some Simon's Quest shit of just like completely wrong and contradictory information.
Just readable. It's like, hello, pillow, float desk, purple chair green. Yes.
Ah, I see. I need to get you to a hospital. Got it.
Correct. Shut up, Castlevania 2 on the NES. Game updates. We've talked about this a couple times. I'm always excited about this because I want to get into this. And I'm talking about Fly Dangerous Early Access, major update to it. It's been a minute. It has. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. 25 new tracks to immediately crash in, which I fair report, I didn't immediately crash. I actually got a couple of medals this time.
Nice.
To which I'll say, going through some of these tracks, you need to spend just a little extra time, and by that I mean any at all, to explain how the boost mechanic works in this game, which is your propulsion drive. Because it does a wind up and a pitch. You're like, boom, it's like that.
not instantaneous.
No, man. And like I understand kind of how it works like that, but you need to help me out more with that. You know, it's like, because I understand, because it's got letterboards on it. You look at that and you're like, I can't get that time. I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah. Speaking of if you watch the video version, we saw that they have some head tracking support. They added that. Also, they added support for motion sensors. So if you got one of those like fancy chairs mm-hmm. that can like move along, Fly Dangerous will support this as well. Also, hashtag DriftCam. It will attempt to give you a camera that will cause you to not crash when you drift.
You see, this is like one of my big questions. It's like, do I also like, because I was playing this with a controller, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I play my racing games. And like, do I need, you know, the Turbo-Oculator Thrust Booster 9000 in order to achieve these times, or has there been some?
I don't know. Because like, this is supposed to be like basically recreating the race, the user created racing game from
like the arcadey racy stuff.
And yeah. Like, so I know that like. There are some like dedicated elite players with like some crazy setups that have like the head tracking and the motion chair. So I guess maybe they have this there so that they have feature parity with elite, which would make sense. I'm not sure how necessary it actually is. I would almost imagine it's probably a downside because it's because like, you know, these games are like made for controllers, right? Like, so.
Well, the reason I bring this up is I remember watching an interview with Codemasters when they were talking about like Dirt Rally and stuff like that. They're like, yeah, we have two completely different code paths for people who are using wheels versus controllers. Like, it has to control differently, and like people get much more of a break using a controller versus racing with a steering wheel. And like, do they make, you know, do they take that into account on this?
Probably. You know what? If you are the developer of Fly Dangerous, we would love to have you on the show. We got lots of questions for you. So.
Tell us how it's done. So yeah, it's Roba. Fun. Go download it. Go play with it. And no, MOBA.
Yes, Robot MOBA. The Robot MOBA that has been on Linux for 10 years, almost as long as this podcast. It's RoboCraft. I have almost 200 hours into it. Also, did a stream of it with Mr. Alert and Mir and someone else that joined us that day. It's a fun game, but it is very simple, which probably why it's so dumb fun. But the actual meat and potatoes of it is the robots you can build. And I spent a lot of time actually building the robots rather than, actually fighting with them. But it is, once you sort of get to grips on what you need to do to at least be competitive, you can be as creative as you want, because it is effectively like building Legos and you just make your own robots. They're working on RoboCraft 2, that's coming, but the first one, 10 years old. Very good.
So, Pedro, let's just say I was like reading the announcement. Is there anything like you get for it being 10 years old, maybe?
You get some you get a couple of days of premium, and you get the, you just type in RoboCraft 10 and it'll give you the, you can only use it once for account, obviously. But yeah, you get the retro cubes, which are like the original cubes that the game came with, that they since updated the way that the cubes look. And you get, you get 500 CCs for the cash shop. Yeah, that's the one. And 10 days of premium. There you go.
All right. So there are some advantages. It's not just a big party. Be like, whoa, we're 10. All right, next.
That is the celebration. Although, we're 10. When I looked some free at, shit. Yeah, when I looked at the Steam charts, there's like 300 people playing it. So,
well.
It seems to have dropped significantly.
Someone else is having a less fun birthday party, I guess.
R.I.P. Murder Bush.
Yeah, R.I.P. Murder Bush. You remember that live stream I did with Sandy, where I was stuck in that bush for about 20 minutes, and guards kept coming by, and they're like, doop 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 doop, stab. Man, this bush smells a little corpsey. We're talking about Aragami. It's a sneak 'em up game. You infiltrate, you assassinate. They made two of them. Aragami 2 never got released under Linux. Aragami 1 did. But yeah, after 9 years of development, Aragami is no more. The actual company is no more. They're no longer, they're ceasing development on all current and new projects. RIP Lince Works. They're very vague about what has actually happened, but they're saying my theory is like whatever money they had is gone. They couldn't find a new source. No one was willing to like publish or fund their stuff. I don't know.
I mean, like, yeah, I'm reading through that and it's like, it breaks our heart to note all the work that we've done in the past year ultimately not come to a completion. And, how do I say this? They've been in business for like 9 years, starting, you know, the original one of this, Stealth Ninja game, great, in 2016, and the Nightfall DLC they did after that, and 2021 they did Origami too. But like running out of time for like this mystery project that they can't talk about, like that's cryptic as fuck, son. Like,
well, there have been like a lot of things. Like it was happening over at Warner. I don't know if it's this specific situation where like finished or like near finished things were just getting like shit canned. So like, I don't know, maybe this is a situation like this with whoever Linceworks was working with.
It was like, but I don't think they would have dissolved the company. They would have been paid for their work.
Right. But like, maybe like the company was dependent on that, like income for like operational costs. And if that's the case, then if they weren't able to secure additional funding, then I don't know, and again, this is all speculation. None of us actually know what's happening. Again, Linceworks people, if you would want to come on the show, yes. we always want people to talk to because...
They do say that they will assure you that the game will remain available across all platforms and storefronts, and the online co-op will be accessible until it's fucking not, because...
Until someone reverse engineers it. Open Origami.
Well, I mean... Yeah, so speaking of reverse engineering, how about, weird suggestion? Open source what you can.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that way it doesn't go to waste. Right? Let the community do things with it.
I mean, sunk cost, baby. Sunk cost.
Well, I mean, you're not releasing. This is the whole thing. Like, I think a lot of the stuff would get open sourced if you would sit some people down and explain. Like, you're not relinquishing the Origami IP.
You don't even need to give up the technology.
Yeah. We're going to replace everything with bananas anyway.
bananas, spoons,
spoonagami.
All right,
I guess that does it for us. Coming up next, we talk about if Stadia ever existed to begin with.
Was it ever real? I guess we're gonna find out. It's the news. Yes, it. We're going to get into the whole Stadia thing, don't you worry. Of course we're going to get into that. But before we got out of it. Yeah. But it was technically running on Linux, so we need to address it. But before we get to that, Jordan's going to tell you how you can...
Get inside us?
Yeah.
Well, get inside our Discord anyways. Yeah, oh, my love, my darling, hunger for your patreon.com/NixGameCast. Yeah, sign up, and Patrick Swayze will appear behind you, and it will turn out to actually be Whoopi Goldberg, but you'll get a lovely little kiss from them. You can only get, though, if you sign up, $1 a month, or $1 a week, I should say, is all you need to get into our Discord channel. You can also get in by subbing to us on Twitch, twitch.tv/LinuxGameCast. Joining our Patreon, when the account linking bot works for once... you can get access to the
preview. Let's go ahead and throw that up, man. If you're listening right now, do yourself a fucking favor. Patreon has updated and enhanced something with Discord. They didn't say exactly what, something about the way the roles are managed. They sent out an email to which I was like, okay, a couple of people had to just reauthorize, just boop it.
Yep.
And yeah, go to your Patreon thing. I haven't run into it personally, but two people have, so I wanted to give that a mention.
It's also like the mystery Discord bot. Like, when it breaks, it's like, what can we do about it?
Wait.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, get into our Discord. You can listen to the pre super shows, and we do that an hour before we start this nonsense. Get in at 7:30. Listen to us talk about... God, I don't even remember what we were talking about. It kind of ran the gamut. I discussed DisplayPort. Pedro, you talked about something. We talked about, Steam Deck areolas, like replacing them with the IBM, like, clip mouse surface thing.
The ThinkPad version of the deck.
Yeah.
The Think Deck.
The stink pad, that's what it was. The stink pad.
The Leno Steam.
Yeah, it vomits blood and Lenovo, plays your video games.
There you go.
Valvo. Isn't that just Volvo? Volvo. Yeah, you just get a nice station wagon, a nice Volvo sedan. Fucking Discord, man. If you like this nonsense, like
doing the commercial and the guys running out of the building just covered in the red nimble thing.
Volvo, buy our cars. Yeah. So if you like this hot nonsense, this like brief 5-second clip of that, we do a lot of that, more of that stuff in Discord. Get in there. We got a store as well, store.linuxgamecast.com. Buy some merch, buy some tote bags, hoodies, coffee cup stickers.
Bam.
Oh man, so many wish zones. We got them. You can buy us stuff. Send us some letters. We'll read them on the air. If you send Ven some stuff, you get your name in lights behind his head. So shiny. It's so blinky. Hopefully it doesn't fall down. It might. I don't know.
Come join us with all the fun stuff that we do. Bonus sodas. Tuesdays, we do Trackmania Retro Night. Trackmania Squared, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's going to be on the schedule. Come say hi. Come do that. You do it. I don't care if you like racing games or not. It's a good way to hang out, get to know everybody on the show. Jordan throws down on Thursdays with Borderlands 3 is the running game right now. You said you're about done with it.
I think so. Like all of the shit in the game is like indicating that we're like in the last leg of it.
Uh-huh.
So, but it could be a pickup. Right. Like, yeah, that's kind of what I'm waiting for. They did. If you watched the stream 2 weeks ago, they did a fake out ending. So I'm like, are you going to do this like 2 or 3 more times? Are you going to keep doing it until it becomes hilarious? It's like, oh no, this is like the 19th ending. Okay. This is funny again.
It never ends. Right. All right. Thanks for letting us see what we do.
I suppose we need to thank Don M for the 100 bits earlier. Thank you very much. And North Ranger for the 10-month resub.
For the X10.
Thank
you very much. What was it? The X10 camera? Remember those ads? Or are you two children too young for the X10?
Maybe. I need to go change my diaper.
It was like the X10. We're talking like late 90s. So
was X10, it a Sony camera? Brand?
I just remember like it was just an X10 camera. I'm sure if you type in like X10 camera ad, it was the plague of the internet. Every website, like they bought. Once you were done punching the monkey.
Yeah. Or hitting the button that made fart noises.
Yeah. You had to deal with like the X10 of the cameras. It wasn't as cool as the, yes, Jordan?
I'm looking this up, and I think there's like a new X10, and this is what's fucking me up because this looks too modern for
90s X10.
Welcome back to Google Gamecast.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I added 90s to it. And yeah, it's like a black box, like a black square camera or something.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Fujifilm.
90s camera. Oh man, is that
okay,
real?
Fuji, right? All right, okay.
Are the kids really like legitimately using? Like, is there like the hipsters like walking around with like their Fuji, whatever the fuck these were?
Olympus.
I don't know.
With their
that would require me to go outside. Camera. So I don't know.
Oh man, it's so vintage. Look at the whatever resolution, 5.2 megapixels.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're listening to cassette tapes. They're taking photos with their DSLR. On their compact flash cards. Yeah,
digital cameras. They're coming into a bit of a revival because they're not internet connected. As it turns out.
So if you want to take nudie pictures, that's what. Well, by the way,
thing, the optics on this thing, especially the telephoto, I will take this over anything built into a mobile. Yeah.
Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always something to be said for like this is a dedicated device that like all of the features are focused on making this thing.
Okay. And if you want the best of both worlds, go watch my Sony A5000 video because that damn thing actually runs Android and you can tell that into it because it's Android and horrendously insecure. It's awesome.
But what about Stadia though?
Stadia is something that was promised to us. It was the future. It was something that, you know, is going to change the game. They had remember the announcement when watching the live
Project
stream?
Assassin's
and
Creed.
All this cool shit that was going to happen. And they were showing the data centers filled with Stadias and they're just going to roll this out. It's Google. We're going to stick with it.
Run on Linux.
There was a hope like, if Stadia ports get successful, maybe we'll get some native ports because it's Linux, right? Yeah.
And you know
what? A pipe dream.
Carmack was excited about it, and like all the right people were like, okay. There were companies that were like, hey, we want to get our games on Stadia, and you know, he had Odyssey, and well, Google did the Google thing with Stadia. They did. They eventually just said, nah, we're done with it. We've done whatever we've decided to do, but don't worry about it. And we talked about it on the show, because what we're going to do with Stadia as the service, we're going to wind it down. And you know what? They did a good with the controllers. They made the controllers so you could use them with something else. However, the Stadia tech wasn't going to go away. We're going to relabel the Stadia tech or other as a white box service. So people like AT&T, which AT&T was the one company that took advantage of this for a while.
Peloton, also.
For a while, yeah. You could go to AT&T's website and play the goddamn Batman. Like you could over streaming like you could with Odyssey. It didn't cost you anything. Well, here's the thing. They decided in their infinite wisdom to fuck that and just torch the rest of the stack. It's gone forever. Google Stadia no longer exists. They are working on a time machine so they can go back and scrub it from history. It is Google, man. They can remove Stadia from all Google searches.
Yeah, they
That's
can.
True. Yeah. How are you going to know? Google wiped it out.
Right? They're going to buy...
Same as Microsoft.
something not in my story. This is from Stephen... And this is on The Verge.
Totilo?
Like, The Verge of all places has got some decent stories these days. Strange. It's weird because, like, Verge went through a fucking minute there. Something not my story, but may clear up some confusion. Google is not offering Stadia-style game streaming to clients. While it had offered that for some business deals, like the Batman game to AT&T 5G users, that has ended. We're not offering the streaming option because it was tied to Stadia itself. So, unfortunately, when we decided to move forward, because fuck Stadia... business offering could no longer be offered as well. Yet they just torched it. They just burned it to the ground. Gone.
Yeah.
It seems a little petty of Google to throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, take a note from AMD's book and open source that shit. Seriously.
So, semi-unrelated, but I think it, like, it probably has some bearings into this. I was reading a really interesting DevOps thread by Charity Majors this week, where she was talking about how, like, talking to a bunch of Google engineers that, like, don't know what a LAMP stack is, because Google has a technology track that's parallel to the rest of the world, because they do everything in-house. So,
canonical syndrome.
I have a friend who works app security at Google who says very much the same thing. A lot of the times it's like if it needs to be written in-house to be authorized and run in Google systems, they're not going to let you bring in external sources because they don't want to be vulnerable to supply chain attacks. So, like, there's this weird, like, off track of Google technology that runs parallel to the rest of the world. And I feel like maybe, like, the lack of long-term support has something to do with it. I also wonder if maybe this is, like, the result of some internal Google power struggle where, like, someone was, like, really championing Stadia really hard, and then someone's like, no, I'm going to step on your back to get ahead. So now Stadia is axed, persona non grata, fuck that shit, right? Like, because that's what happens in tech companies, especially large tech companies, a lot of the time.
It does. And how many years did we have Stadia? Like, what, two?
Four?
Two?
Three, yeah, maybe two.
Four from the announcement, but two of actual use.
So, like, you would. It's just a different way to think about it, though. Like, when you have that kind of money, how many billions of dollars was just torched? Mm-hmm. Like, but to still maintain such a revenue flow to where no one went back and, like, do you think we should restructure things differently next time?
Yeah, or like, hey, let's, like, maybe. Because, like, there's still a market for it, like, for, like, education stuff. Like, Stadia would have been crazy powerful for remote learning. Mm-hmm.
You, like, need a fairly low-end machine. As long as it can play video, you're good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Or, like, or even like, some, like, limited, like, simulation stuff, right? Like, where you could be, like, there were a lot of possibilities that weren't directly tied to gaming. Like, Peloton was...
Well, I always... Go ahead.
Peloton was doing that with, like, exercise equipment, right? Like... With a little bit of creativity, you could take this and turn it into something profitable, but I guess, I don't know.
But the problem, I think the core problem is like Alphabet's core business is an advertising company. It's not a services company. It's not a product company. Being able to roll out like desktop as a service where you get like a shitload of paid apps, you know, rendering, stuff like that, access that. Yeah, they could have done a ton of things, but you know, I think it was just some, maybe just petty bullshit. And they're like, hey, we're done with this. What I'm saying is people look out on Craigslist and eBay.
for some retired Stadia servers. Yeah.
Get those SSDs and run every bit of data recovery you can on
it. There's going to be some cool stuff probably showing up in like
I wonder if they have
one of 10,000 available.
I wonder if they have like some bespoke like GPU hardware or something. I don't know.
Right? Like, that's what I'm like the oddball stuff.
They were
stuff.
Running on AMD, weird AMD GPU. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, I don't know, grab one of those out of a dumpster, plug it in. Oh, it works with Mesa all of a sudden. this card is rated for like 500 players playing one game. So like, yeah.
Yeah, the tech that they built for that, like the way they had to like set up reservations in order to boot your games, and like I've read some people like talking about development for Stadia, is the way it was structured. And like it basically every game had its own VM, but you had to request access to the hardware, and you got put in a queue.
Mm.
You had to wait for it, and I'm curious as to what the actual hardware was sitting in the back. But hey, this is the news segment, so let's talk about Proton.
Yeah. Specifically, how you can run Proton on an ARM AR64 CPU. Facts. We'll get to Buck 64, don't you worry. But this one's about Facts. Version 2303 is out. And they have, the current version, they've optimized the REP STOS instruction to inline memset. There you go. I can read those words. But one of the things that they specifically bring up is Proton and pressure vessel startup optimizations, which when you look at the actual numbers might not look that impressive, but you know, in case you're running an Apple M1 with Asahi Linux, you can get Proton to start up in about 7 seconds, which is very, very good. And if they continue with these improvements at this pace, we will be able to play some Proton, you know, non-open source games on the Pinebooks and the M1 Max very, very soon.
Apple users running macOS are going to get so mad.
Someone's going to probably port this to macOS.
if you follow Hector on Twitter or Mastodon, right? Like he's talking about how like Asahi supports a bunch of like features that's like hardware enabled in the M1 and the M2. Mm-hmm. Apple's not even using them. These are unsupported features in OS X that we have like fully working under in Linux. The other neat thing, they got some new hardware. Those ThinkPad X13S Snapdragons. Those look real cool. I kind of want one of those.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. I mean, if anybody at home wants to know what a Linux _ gaming used to look like before the Proton, head over to RMAC Gaming, where they just get complete up to date compatibility list. Somebody running an emulator.
Zimu,
RetroArch for macOS crossover.
Wine, yeah.
A Mac icon has appeared. speculate.
Oh man, I remember those days. Yeah.
Yep. Frontlines and Roblox. just random games would show up. Among Us glitch, like another one, like oh my god.
If Linux gaming on ARM just like straight up outright eclipses Mac gaming, that'll be so hilarious.
That's exactly like if like that. How do you play the how do you play your games on your M1? You're like, well, you gotta install Linux first.
Yeah, you gotta dual boot Asahi, and then you can actually use your computer.
Dude, that is again, we say it each and every time this Box 64 comes up. Just keep up this insanely cool work, because we're going to have. I think we all want a
low power ARM future. Yeah,
fuck that. I want like 600 watt ARM CPU.
The high power ARM future.
Yes.
Like I want them to get nasty with it. That's what I want.
128 cores has the same draw as like a quad core. Man, that'd be dope as fuck. Yeah. Speaking of Box 64, these guys have an update too. Not to be outdone by the FEX people. They have some fixes out. Including Steam Big Picture Mode, it's not working, as well as the Heroic Launcher. Both Big Picture Modes are working in Steam. I wonder how bad of a slideshow it is. But there's also, as Pedro brought up in the show notes, they support Gallium 9. I gotta wonder, mm-hmm. though, like, because DXVK is working on ARM, I wonder what the actual like performance delta between like DXVK versus Gallium 9 is, especially for DirectX 9 stuff. Because like I don't know, like there may be power performance gains somewhere here or there, like that if you're just using like the native hardware as opposed to going through DXVK. I don't know. Questions to be answered. But yeah, like Ven is saying, the progress here of just like you can run x86 games on ARM now. Like the, mm-hmm. the fact that they even start is insane to me. I remember hacking on this stuff in the early days. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, getting an X server booted was a struggle. And now this.
Oh, if you got X up and running, like especially like on like the original Pi, you screamed out, hey, come yeah. check us out. It's starting, and you had plenty of time.
It launched yeah. a browser. We can have one fucking tab open, and it won't crash.
Calm down. It's not done loading the browser tab yet.
Oh, damn it. Ah, fuck, we ran out of memory.
And Box 86 and Box 64, they have a lot more development behind it because they've been on longer than FEX, but FEX has the advantage on this one, I think, because yes, having these native D3D9 is very good if you're using your ARM like dev board with that PCIe slot and you stuck a AMD video card on it. Absolutely, that's actually really nice to have.
So, what do you think we're gonna get this? We're gonna get like x86 64 like PCIe
FEX.
PCIe
FEX can do.
God both. Damn! I'll finish the sentence, Pedro. I'll fight you for it, buddy. we're gonna get like x86 64 adapter cards for PCI Express 11 or whatever it is in the time.
Yeah, you just like pull, it's basically just like a slot where you insert your x86 CPU because yeah, like oh yeah, this is the one thing that yeah this well I mean that's what Rosetta 2 is, right?
Like, well, here's what I'm thinking about, because I watch like, you know, the retro Amiga shit and like people with the vampire boards that have like the Motorola 500 megahertz chips that yeah. have been fused into these boards that were originally on like 6 megahertz. So we're going to have something like that one in our army or risky future where maybe like accelerators with like a AMD, I don't know, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have multiple cores and multiple nodes in CPUs already, it probably wouldn't be a stretch to have a co-processor.
Well, yeah, and then that again, AMD for a while ago, they kind of dropped this, was like really for like 1 or 2 years was really pushing the heterogeneous compute of like, yeah, no, we're going to have an ARM mm-hmm. CPU, a Radeon card, and a x86 thing all on mm-hmm. one board. And we will like, we will intelligently determine like, oh, you're doing a lot of like floating point calculations. Let's stick it on the GPU. Oh, you're just kind of like maintaining or doing whatever. Run it on ARM. Oh, you need to like have burst, run it on x86.
IBM ever release a desktop ATX form factor version of the Cell processor?
They had the Power 8 Micro ATX motherboard that was stupidly expensive.
Was a Power 8 Cell?
No.
That's not, I said Cell.
Cell like the thing that was in the PS2, right? That's what you were talking about?
Three.
There was a Cell processor on PS2, wasn't there?
I know the 3 had that was like the famous one that had 32 megs of RAM or something.
I don't know it was in the PS2. Can we speculate? Did IBM make the, or was it Motorola? Huh?
That's a very good question. That is a very good question.
Yeah, that I definitely don't have in my back pocket. Patrick! Patrick, where are you?
It was a MIPS.
Oh, mirrors at scale. No, we don't have mirror.
What CPU does the PS2 have? Okay, it is a main CPU, is a 120-bit R5900-based emotion engine.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay,
it's custom silicon by Sony and Toshiba.
I got those mixed up.
So... Yeah, I always wondered like if there was ever like a Cell like motherboard that you could buy. I thought that'd be kind of dope.
Well, that was why like the U.S. military was racking up PS3s, right? Like,
yeah,
they didn't make like, buying them from IBM
because they wanted to watch Blu-rays.
And then Sony released the update that stopped people from running Linux on.
And now you can just easily run Linux on a PS4. You can't fucking stop it. You just can't.
No. No.
Pedro's favorite controller has an update.
Oh, man. Remember when the Steam controller used to get firmware updates, but like it learned new tricks?
Yeah, I think they turned on Bluetooth that one time, yeah.
And peaced out, yeah.
Now, this one is for the Alpaca. The Alpaca has the firmware is all open source, as is, you know, as are the 3D print files and everything else about it. I think the only bits of proprietary stuff are built into the Pi Pico itself. So, yeah, the firmware, there's a new version out. They've put out a couple of hot fixes since then. Apparently they took one down. Something must have gone wrong. But yeah, no. Version 0.88 is the big one. It has a...
Star Wars reference. Keep going.
Oh, okay. 88, yeah.
No. Why you got a player hate on IG-8088?
But yeah, it is, they added dynamic touch threshold logic, which basically it adjusts the conductive filament, the touch sensitivity of it, to avoid accidental gyro activation when you only want to just slightly touch it when you're trying to push a button. And they had to release a bit of an update because it wasn't working terribly well. But there's basic macro support. That's your yes, no, thanks, and GG. You can define... Yeah. You can define the if the gyro is enabled, instead of just using the capacitive hexagon, you can define it to be used in a button instead. You can set it per profile. If you're using the FPS profile, you want it on the capacitive bit. Cool. If you're using the console profile and you want it on, say, the back button. One of the back pedals. You can set that too. So, yeah, no.
Sick back pedal, bro.
Very, very good job. And those updates just keep on coming. Very nice.
Oh, man, back pedal. The order debate without intelligence. Now I want actual pedals on the back.
No,
I want pedals that fit your thumb like you would on a bike, and you got to put them in there. And
all right. Oh, you just got to like power twiddle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. The chain breaks at an opportune times.
Oh, man. Yeah, that just gives my thumbs a repetitive strain injury thinking about it, man. Like, fuck.
We can make it like a 3-speed, too.
Oh, man. Got a gear shift. You got to throw a clutch in there, too, so you know you got a foot pedal. Yeah.
That'd be great. Alpaca, call us. We got ideas. GameScope. I didn't know where to put this, so that's going to go towards the end of the news segment. I recently ran into a situation where I needed to use, I needed a solution to my problem. And it turns out GameScope had the solution to my problem. And I will not admit to how long I spent making that thumbnail, but there it is. Make GameScope. So I wanted to take a game. Hear me out. Maybe you've had this problem too. You know, it'd probably work better if I just played the video in the background while I was talking through this one. Marketing. There we go. All right. So Trackmania 2020. I ordered to play the game, and Trackmania 2020 runs using Proton. And it's got two display options. It's got 1080p windowed, and it's got 2160p full screen. This is a problem. I have a 3060. My 3060 can play this all day long at 1080p 60, and no problem. However, not so much at 2160p. That's where it struggles to hit 50. Because the 3060 is not a 4K card. It's just not. GameScope is here to help out with that. And it's been doing this for a long time, you know, as AMD heathens like Pedro Mateus and open source hippies like Jordan will talk about. Actually, Jordan, you've had an AMD card longer than Pedro has, right?
Yeah, 5700.
Yes. Yeah, I've had the XT for a couple years now.
Fucking hippies. We're getting it on a real GPU, and we're talking about, you might not even know that this works on GameScope's built into the deck. You might be even using GameScope. You don't even know about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you are using GameScope. That's the default Wayland session runs everything in GameScope.
So we were talking about this, and you know, most people don't even know it exists or what it is. I asked a couple people before I even made the video. That's what inspired me to make it. They're like, what the fuck's GameScope? And we're talking about people that Linux all day long, bro. And, you know, it works a treat with Team Green in 2023. I know Jordan told me a couple of times last year and this year, he's like, yeah, it works pretty good. And I finally get around to trying it and getting it set up properly. And for my limited use case, you know, I needed to render something at 1080p or 1440p and upscale it to 2160p, and you can also use AMD's FSR. Throw that in there, and it's great. Now, it is 1.0 or 1.1, so it's not the super, super good stuff, but I mean, it gets the job done, and you can also take games, older games or newer games that are full screen only. You want to put them in a window for streaming or something along those lines? Absolutely, it can do that.
Suck at SDL1.
Yeah, it's a thing,
that's
man.
Really good for those old games that try to take over the whole screen. Run it through GameScope. There, done.
Got a bunch of options. I made a page over at LinuxGameCast.com, and you know, Steam Tinker Launcher will take some of the sting out of this if you don't want to enter the moon glyphs, because they are kind of moon glyphy with some of the options and the ways to do stuff. I tried to simplify, just give you two examples of how I typically use it, and there it is. It's available. It's not limited to Steam by any stretch of the imagination. You can run GLX Gears with this, man. I mean, it's a command. It's available in your distribution. There's a good chance that it is just there. It's even because I say, hey, man, this GameScope's available in Debian testing. It means it's probably available on everything.
Yeah, you may not be getting the latest and greatest version, which is why you may want to build it from source. That's usually why I do it. But
I try to like trick people into building their first application, Jordan.
yeah, look in your distro's repos. Just type in GameScope. It's probably there. Yeah.
Learn to build shit from source. I'm going to teach you how to use Git.
What, you mean you don't right-click save from Git?
Yeah, right-click save as, yeah.
He saved it as HTML. He should have saved it as HTM.
No, you gotta save it as .git, right? Like, that's how
he
you
was
check
going
out.
To save as .html, and he just removed the .html from the end. It doesn't work. No shit.
Well, maybe after he figures out how to push his code to GitHub, he might launch a new game on the Game Store. So yeah, Epic Game Store, they've opened it up. No longer is it shady back channel deals with Timmy behind the gas station, and you got to do sordid things if you want to get on the Epic Game Store. Anyone can get on now. You got to sign up for an account at epicgames.com. They're doing the same Steam pay $100, get on the store. You got to go through the approval process, of which there are a few interesting things. Like, if you have multiplayer on your game, you must support crossplay. Which, you know, on paper sounds like, good on you, Tim. In reality, it's like, oh, if you don't have cross-platform multiplayer, no one is actually going to buy the game on Epic because they won't be able to play it with their friends. So, you know, good on you, Timmy. You did the right thing for the wrong reason. Gotta support achievements in some way, shape, or form through Epic. No permitted content, meaning that, like, if for whatever reason Epic doesn't like your shit, they can reject you ad hoc. And that's kind of it. If you want to actually sell your games on the Epic Game Store, as opposed to having Epic buy 10 million copies and giving away the game for free, you can do it now.
Mm. Something you left out, and I think this is like the big one. You get 88% of your revenue.
This is a pretty good cut.
However, what's 88% of like nothing?
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to the Epic Game Store to buy shit. They show up maybe every other week to get a free game.
Yep. Well, and then this is going to and I think this is like directly taking a shot at Valve, right? Like the 30%, like love it or hate it, that is kind of the standard thing. So now so Epic's like, oh well, we'll give you a better cut, even though we're totally gonna have fewer sales, so that cut is still gonna be, what you make off of us is still gonna be materially less than Steam, but you do get to keep more of your money, which is a good thing.
But I mean, there's no exclusivity, so you might as well just go ahead and throw your stuff up there. But here's what are they going to do when I'm like, hey man, I want to publish my Linux game?
Fuck you.
Well, you gotta send an email to GOG, and then
I want somebody to try to go through this. All right, if you were sitting there, and it doesn't have to be Linux on or anything, but if you're like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to give them $100, might as well, you know, you're just like, hey, I just want the experience. Call us up. I want you on the show. I want to talk to you about like what it was like when you're like, hey, how do I post my Mac depots? And how do I post my Linux depots?
Yeah. No. The thing that they're clearly leaving out a lot of money on the table is in the prohibited content. Number two is pornography. Yeah. Go, you know, look at Steam. Go look at how many reviews those porny visual novels have.
Listen, Tencent doesn't want to put their backing behind erotic entertainment.
Yeah, Tencent's got standards, bro.
Yeah.
With your filthy Western values.
Yeah, handholding. Disgusting.
It was. I can't remember who at Valve said it, but it was someone in an interview that said, "Yeah, we had no idea that like visual novels and you know the raunchier stuff was anywhere near as popular as it is." And the moment they started to allow it on Steam, it's like, oh, there's a lot of people actually. Playing over that stuff. All right. Yeah,
people be horny. Turns out
we like that. Now, every time I see something that's banned, I was like, how do I break all this in one fell swoop? And so, what am I gonna need?
Hateful or discriminatory content, pornography, illegal content.
First of all, we don't own any of the IP, so we just we do Google search for all of the assets.
I got one. It's like instead of Mario Party, it's Mario Key Party, where you have to like put your keys in a bowl and have sex with various Mario characters.
Mario is a Jedi that looks like Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm. And it's a fake game, it just shows the title screen, and then it crashes.
That's the thing. You got to do like the copyright deadlock where you got to like include as much stuff as possible. Like, who actually owns this?
Oh, and it's malware. So the moment after it crashes, next time you launch it, it just deletes itself from your hard drive.
No, Pedro, you're not doing it's got a fake game or malware. So you go to launch it, and it's just fucking Pong.
It's just straight up Frog Fractions. Game within a game within a game within a game within a game.
After you sign up for the NFT,
yeah, of course, yeah,
coin.
No, but through your iPhone, right? Like you gotta. We publish the companion app only on iOS. So
their developer account hasn't been reinstated yet.
No. So your shit hooks in. Your shit is only like purchasable via iOS. That goes to the game on Epic. But like all the microtransactions are through iOS, so Apple gets the cut.
I think you're in the right vein, Basil. What we do, since this is more cross-platform, LimeWire.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get LimeWire on there.
Can we just put LimeWire on the Epic Games Store?
There you go.
You guys want to burn $100 and find out?
Yeah. all right. Well... Coming up next, we gotta be in a hurry because we're gonna rush away.
There you go, Blue. Fast.
Welcome back to the Chairquisition. We're in a real hurry this week because we're taking a look at Rush Away. We're gonna run it on our Linux machines that have vaguely different hardware sometimes and give it a score from 1 to 4 chairs. 1 chair means that it's trash, 4 chairs means that's great. Like I said, we're looking at Rushway, done by 9 studios, done on the Unity engine. You can pick it up for about $11 US. What is it? Rushway is a 2.5D fast-paced single-player platformer where your objective is to find the fastest ways toward the gold. Multi-paced, multi-faced, motherfucker. Explore different paths for every level and discover the most optimal ones, avoiding or exploiting different hazards. And we got to thank 9 studios for sending us some keys on Curator Connect. I get to go first today, so I'm going to talk some more. Yeah. So on Fedora 37, that's the one I'm on, 64-bit with the R9 3900X GTX 1080 Ti. Launched out of the box, same with the stable client on the Steam Deck. Which, you know, speaking of, hey, cloud saves. Not a thing that's on every game these days, but it's something I really care about now that I'm playing more games on the deck. Ven's going to talk more about it, but those fucking menus are terrible. They really got to quit with those like confirmation prompts. Controls work out of the box, but if you're on the Steam Deck or if you're using a DualShock 4, no D-pad. It is all analog stick, which for precision platformers is not great, but it does kind of work. The visuals are minimalistic. They get the point across. I do like the soundtrack, though. It's like some very good Ruan noodling. I have to look up what the name of that Chinese mandolin is. I think that's what it is. I don't know. Someone correct me. Fun-wise, this is sweaty hands, the game, and I needed me some, like, leet gamer chalk after about 10 minutes. Because, you know, precision platformers, they're my favorite genre. Oh, and you stuck a timer on it. Joy. Despite my misgivings, the game is okay. The controls are reasonably tight, and the levels are designed well enough. There's routes, there's stuff you can exploit, as the game description said. My one gripe, especially in the early levels, I don't know how much in the later levels there are, but there are a lot of dead ends, which to me is like kind of redundant. If you're competing for time, like don't like kill them, right? Like the punishment is that your time is bad. so you still need to restart anyways. Seems a little pointless. I don't know. Control-wise, it's a bit of a hybrid between, like, Action Hank and speedrunners. No sliding. Instead, you gotta, like, trace your analog stick along the route that you're running if you want to, like, stick to the wall. Which works sometimes, but not all the time. I feel maybe with, like, with a D-pad it would be a little better, but, you know, that didn't happen in this game. Doesn't believe in it. There's also, like, a degree of momentum management involved, too, which I thought was pretty neat, especially for, like, a speedrunning game, because you can't just gun it. Otherwise, you will just, like, straight up overshoot or undershoot stuff that you need to. Then, you know, you actually need to, like, be present in what you're doing, which, you know, fair. If you are a speedrunning type and you want something to sink your teeth into, might be the game for you. For me, it's not really my cup of tea. One, two chairs.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. Over here on the deck and on the desktop with the Ryzen 7 5800X 3D and the AMD RX 6700XE. Yes, I remember the numbers. It launches out of the box. If you enable VSync, it actually syncs to your display's chosen refresh rate. Performance is also pretty good, probably because I had to play it at 1080p because it doesn't support 2560 by 1440. So you get the chance. It's like jumps from 1080p immediately to 3840 by 2160. That's great. At least on the deck, it actually did 1280 by 800. The controllers work, though. Like Jordan already mentioned, on both the deck and the DualShock, the D-pad is misconfigured. I thought it might be the usual Unity cock-up with the key assignments, but no! It seems intentional because the triggers were left and right. It's like, oh, there's some weird strats with the controller configuration that hey, I'm man, not entirely...
Just because a serial killer wants to do button layout.
Not only did they want to, they succeeded. But it is, yeah, it's weird, but maybe it seems intentional. And maybe it was just me in my old age, but the every now and then it felt like it missed a key press. So I ran into some spikes when I didn't mean to, or I held the button longer so that I would do the long jump, but the character would only do the short jump. So... maybe it was just me, but it felt like it wasn't just me. So, yeah. There's some background music, but it's even less intrusive than elevator music, so it was there. The graphics, they work for what they are, and as for the fun, let me put it to you like this. Did you ever find yourself wishing for a single-player speedrunners in which you play as in a quasi-Fez type of 3D spinning tower? Compete with yourself for the lowest time to the top. That's awfully specific of you, but hey, Rush Away is exactly what you've been waiting for. And for me, I like speedrunners purely for the multiplayer aspect. You wouldn't catch me playing that game on my own in my spare time.
I mean, Rush Away, it's got online leaderboards.
It does have online leaderboards, but yeah, that's all it's got. So, that alone is not enough to keep me playing. I get the gist of it and the timing of holding the jumps and twirling the analog stick to follow along with the way that the track is laid out so you can get the most speed. And yeah, it's neat, but I wasn't really invested. Two chairs.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, over here in Debian testing land on 1920X, 3060, all that fun stuff. Everything works-ish. You know, that menu system is annoying with extra pauses, steps, and just not working with a D-pad. Like, there's a lot not to like about the menuing system. Also, pick a side. Start button's going to be start, or is it going to be A, or is it going to be X? Speaking of buttons, though, I can't rebind the controls. What the fuck's up with that? This is 2023. That's silly. Quit being silly. And I wouldn't even mention that. It wouldn't even be a problem if they got the controls right out of the box. Guess what? We'll be talking about that in a minute. It can't manage to hold 60 at 2160p consumer 4K on a 3060. It can do that at 1080p. And much like Pedro, I don't know about 1440p since it's not an option in the resolutions. Like, what the hell were dice and chicken bones involved in you determining what resolutions you were going to support in this game? Because for a minute there, I thought, oh, maybe it doesn't support scaled resolutions on my monitor. I went and checked. Wasn't the case, Brad. wasn't the case. This is like weird choices, man. Weird choices. Volume options, they're there. They'll close out your settings. Let's talk about fun. Because I personally felt fun was a very strange metric pinned down on this particular game. I made it all the way to the first trial, was the name of the level. And it's the one with the laser beams that are following you up. They're going to insta-kill you. And I found myself having to make an executive decision here. Because did I want to continue playing, or did I want to risk damaging the analog stick of my PS4 controller and later my Xbox controllers? Because here's the thing. Fuck you, hard precision platformers are my thing. They are. I enjoy them. Makes me happy. And also, they're the reason D-pads exist. Maybe not the reason, but a reason. And I was putting way too much mojo into my sticks doing those wall jumps. If you're watching the video version, you can see we get a run of a wall and you get to switch walls and sides like that. That throw from left and right, that's cavernous. Takes forever to get back and forth with the analog, where it wouldn't with a D-pad. And this game very well might get fun later on. But out of the gate right there, like in that first 30 minutes, I would have refunded the game. I'm like, I can't change this. I'm not going to continue playing this because guess what? These controllers are expensive, son. And I'm putting a lot of extra strain on this thing, leaning into it. Maybe that's just a control issue with me. But with the D-pad, you do it left and right. And you're talking about somebody who can fuck up Big Mothy Boy, Big Mothy Girl, and Hollow Knight, Radiance, multiple levels of that. So, you know, my thumbs can still move and pretty good precision control. This. I couldn't imagine trying to play something like Precision Platformer, like Meat Boy or Hollow Knight, using the analog stick. That sounds like a bad idea. I mean, unless you were doing it for a funny ha-ha video. Anyway, did I like what I played? Well, you know, like the soulless, uninspired bonus levels from Sonic? You know, the original Sonic on the Mega Drive, remember those? It's like that with Fez traversal mechanics. And as far as your movement, think like Sonic 1, but a little bit slower. That is my non-review of a game that I would have refunded simply because I don't know whose artistic vision it was to use a fuck-mothering analog stick for a platformer, but there you guys are two chairs. Am I wrong, gentlemen, or am I completely out of line? Have I said anything that made you go...
I feel having some, like, actual D-pad support may have made, like, me have a better time with this game because you're not fighting with like the whip back of the joystick and like the just the general imprecision of
it. And the only thing I could think about is like, are you going to try to make the argument that I need to make that crescent for the little loop to for you know what I'm talking about, like when you're coming up,
but you can do like quarter circles on a D-pad, right?
Like bitch, I've been throwing Hadoukens for 30 years without, you know, like I've been doing that on a D-pad for 30 years. I can get up your little ramp without the use of an analog stick.
Yeah, it's a 2D game. The D-pad, the directional pad, you know, it's of very, very
it is, Pedro. I'm watching it welcome. On a 2D monitor.
Yeah. You're looking at a 2D image.
You know what I think would really improve this game? Tank controls.
Just push forward. Yeah, no, I get it. But no, the D-pad is absolutely a necessity, especially when you're talking about precision platforming. Mm-hmm. The game that I most recently played that I truly enjoyed of the 2D platformer genre was Blasphemous. And yeah, playing that, you can absolutely play it with the analog stick. You don't want to, because you're going to die a lot.
How about this, Pedro? I'm determined to shoehorn Hollow Knight and everything this year. Hollow Knight gives, like a lot of games, though, like Ori does too, and I've been through Ori as well. It gives you the fucking option, though, man. Like, hey, do you, if this is like long traversal, yeah, grab the analog stick and just lean it in a direction. It's easier, you know? But, like, both of them are active, is what I'm saying. It's like when you get down to that nitty gritty, mm-hmm. you need that D pad. That option's not there. This is go fuck yourself. I mean, I'm sorry. And they even did that wrong. Left and right is up and down.
Yeah, that's what I because sometimes the with old versions of Unity, that would happen with the DualShock. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, there's a Unity cock up there. But no, I pressed the left trigger and the character started going left. I pressed the right trigger and it started moving right. It's like, oh, this was deliberate, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
I fear we're dealing with somebody's artistic vision when it comes to the movement.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, and that's probably why it's got 13 reviews.
Yeah. But they're all positive.
How were the reviews shaken out on that? Like,
Rushaway, Steam, pretty cool. Positive. Spoilers, true, real, good.
I'm just
that, yeah, they're all positive. What? That's the thing. It's like 13 reviews or 15 reviews, something like that, and they're all positive.
We also got to look for like friends and family.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a lot of like product was received for free, so that's right. That's decent. But yeah,
I mean that's good.
Maybe if you are a speedrunner, maybe we're just like the completely the wrong audience for this, right? Mm-hmm. Like. Maybe if you're like really into speedrun games, like, oh no, this game is amazing. But like for your average, like lay person consumer. I don't know.
And like, well, if I was speedrunning a game, I'd want the game to be a little fast. And, you know, I'm also going to see, you get 13 reviews and no discussions.
General, there's some demo feedback.
Yeah. Where the, yeah, this isn't the demo. I don't think 13 people bought the demo, Pedro.
Well, 13 people played the demo.
I'm saying, man. Right. I'm just saying.
I think that does us away for Rush Away. So let's rush away to the hate mail segment. We got to talk about haunted EVGA cards and why ghosts are coming out of your GPU.
I pay extra. Ghosts.
Jump scare.
Smoke bomb.
Probably Blue. Didn't get any of you, but hey, I'll take
what my... What would you rather have? Would you have a jump bomb or a jump smoke?
Can I have jump hair?
Jump smoke. Jump smoke. Definitely a jump smoke, yeah. Whenever I jump something, just smoke.
No, every time
if I
you
do fall, I'm obscured by the smoke.
Every time you jump, someone sticks a cigarette in your mouth.
I was a smoker for many, many years, so
free cigarettes. Me. I don't know.
But if you do some jumping jacks, you end up like the spy from that one meme is like mental gen.
Oh, is there something also physically impeding me from spitting them out?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Okay, but you do, now you get stronger if you eat them.
You're fueled by nicotine?
They don't taste any better, and they will still make you as nauseous, but you get like plus one power.
Eat non-chewing tobacco, and you get superpowers, right?
And the paper, and the filters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm, fiberglass.
Superpower might be pushing it. It might be like power like plus. Yeah.
Well, by the time you're, you know, done with all the side effects and the plus ones, it probably, they balance each other out.
plus one strength, minus one con, that sort of thing.
But yeah, no, if you'd like to let us know your D&D strats for eating cigarettes, go to linuxgamecast.com, hit the contact button. There's some caveats at the top that you should read if you want to share your project with us. But just pick a topic. It's usually LGC Weekly for this show, LWDW for the Wednesday show, and leave us your name, your email, a subject, and the message that you'd like to tell us. Be careful with the URLs. The spam golems thinks they're delicious.
I still need to check that. We're going on like 3 months. I haven't checked that thing. Anyway, so a while back, you might have noticed I did a thing for, what was it? The EVGA. Pedro, you got the fancy one. The EVGA. Yeah. Sparkle Deluxe, Blinkatron RGB Reflecto Edition.
Very mirrory.
Very mirrory. And I bought the basic bitch version, which is the EVGA XR1 Lite, and made a video on it because I was like, oh, this thing's kind of neat. Took it apart, and I'm like, oh, that's got a big metal weight in it for no reason. Pretty cool. Biko writes in, he's like, so I just want to let you know that. After my old crappy USB capture card did not work in a new setup, I was going to implement. I remembered this video and ordered mine today, period. You influencer, should be a comma there. You. that's why we do things like that. You're like, hey, this is a capture card. Let's see if it works under Linux. Why? Because what we were talking about during one of the breaks, data points. Data points. Because, you know, if I go, hey, I wonder if my EVGX R1 works under Linux, Pedro will go, well, my card that's not that works under Linux.
It's UVC compliant, so, yeah.
Which doesn't help you at all to know that, like, I mean, how many times have you ran into that, Jordan Zvang, where you ask the internet or somebody something like, hey, man, do you know if this works under Linux? And you're like, well, this thing that is related to it works under Linux. And like, yeah, but that's not the thing that I was thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, like in the point scoring algorithm there, I'd give that like a quarter of a point as of like, okay, it might work, maybe. But, you know, it's always like, okay, well, let's take that with a grain of salt. Go find some additional sources, right? It's like, mm-hmm. it's like you said, data points. Where if like enough stuff in the same family works under Linux, then like you can make a reasonable assumption that it would work, maybe. But again, that is a reasonable assumption. That is an assumption, right? Like you're looking for, hey, I'm running this specific combination of hardware and software, and I can here is my camcorder footage that shows that I plugged it in and it gets detected, right? Like that's what you ultimately want.
That's once you see that's what you need, like in 2023, right? You want to see somebody's actually plug this thing in, confirm that it works, and it could be all types of different things. And why? Well, I mean, you do run into situations. How many confirmations do you need? I need at least two on something. I need it. I need it in, preferably in video format, but definitely like in text.
So it depends on the thing.
Verification.
Some things I'll take. Yeah, no, I'll see one that says, yeah, it works. Or okay, cool. Others, I will check multiple reviews and multiple blog posts and multiple forum posts and multiple bug reports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you'll still get fucked.
Yeah.
Usually.
Because they had the -1 revision and you have the -0 revision, which mm-hmm. has a different value in the BIOS that makes it like completely.
There's like one thing that is different, and that thing alone just makes it so everything mm-hmm. else is not relevant.
They, yep. You know, and you think about stuff like that. One of the things you deal with when you're playing with the audio stuff under Linux is class compliant hardware, mm-hmm. which, you know, we can thank Apple for that because, you know, the audio industry said, hey, it's a nice iPad you got going over there. You're going to let us put some drivers on it, right? So we can do our custom drivers. And Apple said, get absolutely fucked. No. You can make it a USB class compliant, and that's all you get. So all the audio manufacturers went, shit, we want money. Yeah.
Ring one, ring more like ring, get the fuck out of here, right?
And this is like, well, we got to be on the iPads and the iPhones and all that. And like Apple threw its weight around in a good way there. And that's how we ended up with all these class compliant devices, which doesn't necessarily mean class compliant, though, because I bought, I have a new in-box thing from, man, I've probably had like 6 months now that is class compliant, but it doesn't work under Linux yet. Because they've done some weird shit with USB initialization. And
That weird controller that it requires a little Python script from a UDEV rule to send specific launch codes to the XBAD driver on Linux to say, mm-hmm. no, trust me, that is a Xbox 360 controller.
And there's an entire thing, a file in the USB system in the kernel called Quirks,
mm-hmm.
which is just a collection of USB kernel quirks for different
workarounds,
hardware devices.
Yeah,
like, and there's just hundreds upon hundreds in there, man. So we're just waiting. What's up next?
Up next, we got Fisk, talking about the GameScope video that you put out. They're responding to your build instructions. They say, by the way, there's actually no haunted unicorns in Arch. That's just ridiculous. We actually just make blood sacrifice on a full moon night, preferably with virgin blood.
There you go. Blood that you haven't stuck your dick in yet.
I was gonna burn Fisk, but they took the time to write in, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I was. And it was like, but like, listen, man, be careful when you're pricking your own finger.
He said, "You, if you went for it, I didn't."
See, I just went with, you know, the gross one.
I don't think there's anything wrong with preserving one's chastity, Jordan. We don't all live in the heathen land of Canada.
I don't either, but some people get sensitive about it.
Why?
Because our society makes them. Be sensitive about it.
Yeah, sex is still ridicule. One of those weird points of contention in society.
Here's the trick, people. Close your eyes.
But this is a podcast.
No. Just in general, I think it's a good piece of advice.
Close your eyes.
While you're operating heavy machinery, while you're engaging in coitus, while you're like cooking, anything. Just close your eyes.
Taking a shot of NyQuil. I mean, whatever works for you, man. I did bring that up. I threw that in as like a little sideways joke because I was talking about like, hey, you know, GameScope's available in the Fedora repos. It's available in Debian and Suzy, and it's like, yeah, whatever the arch users use, it probably involves haunted unicorns. But then again, it's like telling a arch user, it's like, why don't you try to install this without using a GUI?
Just build it from source.
No. You use Pacman.
Pacman-syu, I think, is the one. Probably.
Is it?
Possibly.
I remember using Arch.
So
I remember back in 2009 when I first heard about Arch. I remember it's like I was like, why should I switch from like I think I was on Ubuntu at the time, and it's like look everything's in Pacman. I'm like, how do you install things via Pacman? And it's like some fucking weird cryptic command line thing, and I'm like, fuck that. No, yum install, apt install, right? Like,
yum install data. I like Googled it to the best of my ability. Like, I apparently sudo Pacman capital S GameScope works.
Capital S is install. Y is the confirmation. Yeah, shut up, just install it.
Oh, okay. So yeah,
and you, I don't remember.
No. I think that's to allow it to upgrade. If it's
possibly,
yeah, like it's a little cryptic. I think they could like.
That's why you make sense. I mean, listen, we're not going to pretend we live in any universe where half of the RPM plots make sense.
Can you tell me what a valid tar command is just off the top of your head?
With your single dash and your double dash.
No double dash or no double dash. Sometimes even no dash. You can just do CV XF or whatever.
XVFS.
I just double click on it. It does the thing.
The S is important because it keeps the directory structure.
I don't need, usually I listen, let's be honest, half the time, but we just need the thing in the Linux directory anyway that we got to dig out. That's why you have that like one folder just named x86_640. Like, what was that? Oh, right. I needed the thing from the, yeah. All right. Looking at you, audio plugins. yeah, if you got to deal with Slackware, no one knows how to install anything under Slackware. It's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. It's an actual real Linux conspiracy. Everyone just pretends they do. No one's ever...
Use Zenwalk. They've done a very good job of Ubuntu-fying Slackware.
I think there is one actual Slackware user. Why would you want to do
that,
Pedro? Like,
that would make it worse, arguably.
It's much easier to use Zenwalk if you've never used Slackware ever in your life.
That's like having somebody kicked in the nuts and handed him in a hammer and say, go for the tech, bro.
You're using Slackware at that point. You've gone past worrying about getting kicked in junk.
And I just imagine like Katana's like emerge GameScope or whatever the fuck the glyph command
is. Yeah, emerge Gentoo. Yeah, there you go.
Well, like Gentoo's easy mode now. Like they have a dependency resolver. Once upon a time, that was not the case.
Well, like even with like Slack packs, man, Slackware is a kitty cat these days.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great. Anyone can pick up a Linux distribution now and have a reasonably good chance of getting whatever
package
software
managers are nice. Yeah,
we have package managers and things do dependency resolution. And but I also do want to drive home. You know, always try to sneak that in there. You notice when I do something, if there's an option to build it from source, that's a handy. Dandy ass skill to have.
Yeah, sometimes you need a newer or older version than what your distribution provides, and it's good to be able to produce that yourself.
Right. You don't want to hit a brick wall on something that you want to play with just because somebody hasn't done the work for you.
Also, one of the really nice things about Linux is that like you do have the ability, you have that granular rollback ability, which is not a thing that really exists in Windows. When Windows updates their OS components, you're screwed.
Yeah, unless you're really relying on those restore points in your shadow volumes,
okay, if we're going to talk about like Windows real quick, you know the Pedro probably knows StreamFX, right? OBS plugin. Did I talk to you guys about like the guy who belonged in like Choosy back, having the disconnect as a Windows user because the StreamFX guy's like, hey, only for like the next stable release will I release the Windows binaries for this. If you want the early preview builds that I'm going to make, you got to become a patron. But he's like, yeah, but the source code's right here. I mean, you do it yourself. This guy went nuclear with his meltdown of like, how this is bullshit. He's just money grubbing now. And
for the early access version.
This is absolute bullshit. He doesn't care about the community.
I mean, to be fair, I would also be that mad if I had to build software on Windows. You're making me install a compiler. You're doing it wrong.
I don't know, man. Like, it's weird to see that disconnect, though. You know, of like, this is free. Don't you have to pay anything for it?
Even Windows has a package manager now. Goddamn.
Yeah,
it's living in the future.
Yeah, it has multiple. Actually, it has one for
chocolatey.
Yeah, it has one for PowerShell. It has WSL. You can use apt, or if you're Solfedora, you can use DNF. And it has the Windows Store, which uses its own.
Yeah, and chocolate is the PowerShell one, right?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't install it that much.
All right. Yes, as the resident Windows administrator, I assume you know.
I am. I just don't use Package Manager on PowerShell.
Well, yes, maybe
standards,
you
Jordan. Jeez.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Absolutely not.
No.
No, not even a little.
All right. Well, on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring up the music. Cue it, you might even say, and bounce the hell out of here. Thanks for showing up. If you're watching us live, we do this 8:30 Eastern Standard Moon Time each and every week. Right here on twitch.tv/linkscast. Come in. Be one of the silent minority. You're like, I'm going to sit and watch and never say anything, which is awesome, because that's what I do when I watch live streams. Lurkers. You want to get a hold of me, at Vin... on mass.linuxgamecast.com, at Vinstone on Twitter.
I'm just very standard. I'm your standard issue, Jordan Svung. You can find me standardly at Twitter, at The Burning Fool, or Mastodon. We got mass.linuxgamecast.com. I'm at Rojo there.
And I made the mistake.
Hang on. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Deck. I was seeing what it was going to be for standard issue, Jordan Svung, as SIJC.
Yeah.
No, which, I made the mistake. Oh.
Dude, look
it's
at
fun
it.
To
look,
stay at the no, like,
in the moon. In the moon font, it looks like suck.
I mean, my username in college was Jack Wang. So you know you can suck Jack Wang. It's fine.
Yeah, no. This week I made the mistake of installing Windows 11 from the official ISO on one of the laptops. I felt my privacy getting sucked away with each and every click. But you know, I am on Twitter at unaccounted for, so my privacy is long gone. Thanks, Elon. Dick.
What?
I don't know. It's
so many valid reasons to throw motherfuckers under the bus.
I don't know.
Dynify no, everybody.
Hashtag no standards for Pedro.
None whatsoever.
Ah, so it's using FSR 1.0. Got it.
Goddamn right.
Well, it's that time of the week where we read the credits as they scroll through space, colliding into planets unknown. We got to thank our advisors, Omega Sartharin, who are blowing up Alderaan right now, our executive producers, Barb Ramp, Scott Michaud, Mike T, Mike G, drummer Kohaku, George Pebble, Tomaj, David, and Hakim, who have glassed some planet, and Super Destote, our Chicago Kick-Ass guy, who, I don't know, has collided with the Statue of Liberty somewhere.
And to see monsters, Renault, Rider X, Machina, Trudgy, Veritanuda, Justin, Frostclaw, Nubbin, Dark Wearing System, D, Dancing Jill, Ogiwan, and Kyrillo.
Plenty of death notes coming by. Kim, Smashley, Doom 2, Turnover, Basil, Cheesy, Chad, Bacon, Alex,
Romeo. Wait, isn't Basil on Dark Class technically? Marcin, Renee!
And yeah, these chairlings, which there are a lot of, that consists of many, multiple
Jordan names. Jolly M, Douglas, Rosemar, Jonas,
and Alpha Medical, Arter,
AJ, Minus 9, Monica, Oil of Hope. Monaco's in chat earlier, I think.
Monaco?
Yeah, Monaco, the entire country of Monaco.
The entire country.
That's not a very big country, really.
I know, that's why they fit in our Discord. And these fuckers, those guys, the best. The worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, just wherever you're at, just wish Mr. T a good one. Hopefully he's having a good, great. He's covered in kittens.
He's having a good old Mr. Time.
It's tea time.
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting. Tea time. That's a Half-Life 2 reference.
Now, all right, now I want a Mr. T golfing game.
Now I want Mr. T in Half-Life.
It's golf combat.
instead of Mr. Freeman, it's Mr. Teeman.
Datafy everyone. We'll see you next week.
I watch the shit out of fucking Tea Time. With all the fools that you have to pity.
Yeah. Five dudes.